Blog Talk Radio.
You are listening to Relentless Pursuit International Radio Show with your host, admirable, exemplary, exquisite, distinguished, accomplished, superlative, transcendent, distinctive, incomparable, magnificent, paradigmatic, pulchritudinous,
Landis.
Huh?
What are you talking about? What are you doing?
I'm introducing the radio show.
No, with that accent and those words.
I just thought it would sound good if we spruced it up a little.
If we what? It's 8:30. Ain't nobody got time for that.
Ain't nobody got time. Ain't nobody got time. Ain't nobody got time for that.
We got to get this show on the road.
It's a Relentless Pursuit International Radio Show with your hosts, Philandis Harris
and Tamika Sanders. Relentless Pursuit is a faith-based, young adult radio talk show created to bridge the gaps between racial, spiritual, and social divides. We discuss controversial issues that directly hinder the millennial generation from pursuing their God-given purpose.
We want to showcase young adults who are relentlessly pursuing God and their passions in the form of ministry, entrepreneurship, and through their gifts and talents.
Our goal is to equip our listeners with biblical principles that will nurture their dreams and catapult them into their divine destiny.
It's a Relentless Pursuit.
Good evening, everybody. This is Philandis, and we have our co-host on the line. Tamika, are you there?
I am here, all the way across the country in South Carolina.
Yeah, because y'all know we be traveling worldwide, all around the country. But yeah, we missed y'all a lot, and we hope y'all missed us too, because tonight, we are having a very powerful show with a very, very, very special guest. So we hope y'all's last few weeks since we last did the show have been great. Ours have been good and enjoyable and eventful, and we've been busy and prepared and all that stuff.
Our last couple weeks.
Well, I ain't going to lie, girl. It's been horrible. We've been dying.
You ain't got to lie, Chris.
it's been all right. It's been all right. We've been making it. It's been good. We hope y'all have been good. So thank you for tuning in again. And we also want to give a shout out to our network owner, Coach D. She's
everybody
on the line.
Say hey, Coach D.
Hey,
Coach D.
Yeah, so we just want to give a shout out to her, thank her for the opportunity again to give us this platform and bless us and let God use her. She let the Lord use her, y'all, when she offered us this opportunity. So without further ado, I want to go ahead and introduce our special guest here. She is from my hometown, Detroit, Michigan, my hometown, my old stomping ground. So if we got any people from Detroit on the line, I appreciate y'all. We got to represent because it's too much bad stuff going on about our city and people don't hear about the good stuff enough. So anyway, her name is Lynn McCree. She was born and raised in Chicago, Illinois, and she's currently residing in Detroit, Michigan. She's also the founder of Judah First Ministries Incorporated, which is comprised of a group of young adults with special gifts and musical talents, and it provides a contemporary traditional sound with a huge flair of praise and worship created to encourage and empower the youth as well as the old of this nation. She's a worship leader in her own right, and she has shared the stage with many of the gospel greats that we know of. One of my personal favorites is Shayna Wilson and Kiara Sheard, Canton Jones, Karen Clark Sheard, James Fortune, and the infamous Dr. Dorinda Clark Cole, just to name a few. She's set to release her first album with a live recording this July, and her CD release was in August. Her desire is to reach people of God through the music which he has given her. And we know that Romans 8:28 declares that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. And Lynn has ministered from her heart to the heart and soul of many others and is ready for the assignment God has given her. And she says, I needed a way to express my views to the universe, and music proves to be the perfect medium to share the gospel with the gospel industry about my greatest love, Jesus Christ. And so I want to just introduce to everybody and present to a few people on this call, Miss Lynn McCree of Detroit, Michigan. Lynn, are you there? Say hi to the people.
Hi. Hey, how are you? It's Lynn, it's Tamika, Coach D.
Hey.
Hi.
Hey, how you doing up there?
I am ticking. I am up. And I'm excited, actually. Nervous and excited.
You're nervous and excited. That's always an amazing combination. I feel it every day. Yeah, so, you know, you got this amazing bio. You've been on the stage with all these great people, and I'm just blessed to be able to say that I know you and have the opportunity to have you on my show. It's an honor. So why don't you just tell the people a little bit about you that wasn't in the bio, what you want the people to know, what you're working on, what's up, who is Lynn?
Oh, wow. Lynn is consistently growing. I am married 6 years to an awesome, awesome, awesome man of God. His name is Colin. Colin, Lynn, get it? Oh, so cute. I don't want to say regular person, but I am learning that I am awesome in my own little right, in my own little way, because of what he's put in me. Not like bragging or boasting, but I'm learning that I'm awesome in his eyes. And with that being said, walking out the fear and walking out the nervousness, which is like amazing. But the one thing a lot of people don't know about me is that I'm married. A lot of people think that my husband is my brother. So we look just to, like, cut my hair. I look like him, put a wig on him, and he looks like my sister. But, yeah, I'm married, and I really, really honestly love God. Like, people think that you know, have your moments, but I really, really love God. And I am a church baby to the heart, to the T. And that's basically what I want people to know about me.
No. Now, Lynn, you may not want people to know this, but I noticed it on your Facebook page that you went to Eastern Michigan University. Like, did you go there, or you just went there, like, on your Facebook page, you just posted that you went there, or did you go there, like, you graduated from there? Because we went there.
You know,
we want to make sure that we all have that in common.
I went there for 2 years, and I got sick. I got really, really sick, so I ended up leaving school because I needed specialists. I had a condition where I just bleed. Like, if I get in uncomfortable situations, if I'm nervous about anything, I literally just bleed. And that my junior year in college, it just got really, really worse. So I had to go live with my godparents and them take care of me for like a good year because it got really, really bad. So I had to leave school. So yeah, but I went to Eastern for two.
Well, 2 years that counts. At least it wasn't like a semester, 2 days. 2 years is a good amount of time. So we just wanna make sure we keep you calm while you're on the show. We don't want you bleeding on the radio. Stay calm. Don't get nervous.
The Lord is your healer. The Lord is
God, you have to pray. We will shoot that fire down from heaven through the phone lines for real. It has happened before. So
through the phone.
Yes, he will do it. Yes, he will.
Yes, he will. But,
yeah, so since we got all of that in common, you know, you're officially family. Not that you weren't before, but, you know, we like to boast on our alma mater, EMU. So, so now that we've got some information and we've gotten to know you a little better, I like what you presented to the people. You're so, you know, humble and soft and graceful in your description of yourself. But let's kind of get into some specifics here. So we know that you're a worship leader, and y'all, if y'all have not heard her sing, we're going to share her social media information, and she's constantly, either she's posting videos or other people are posting videos of her singing and tagging her. You need to listen to her because she got my life together the first time I heard her sing. And I usually don't, I'm not the type that really, I guess I don't really feel it when I don't hear it live, when I hear it on a video. But hearing her sing is just amazing. It's mind-blowing. So with you being a worship leader, that's a pretty heavy position to be in. It's an honorable privilege for God to place you in that on that platform. So how did you even get there? Like what happened? Like when did you learn that you could sing? When did you become passionate about it? What made you want to do it for God?
I will be honest. It took the Lord to, like, say, hey, I'm going to put you here, and for me to listen. I grew up, and everybody was singing. Everybody was doing it. But as I was growing up, it was like, be afraid of what you've been given so that you won't misuse it. And a lot of people put that fear in you so you won't do nothing wrong, do nothing bad. And at first, I'm like, I'm just making noise. It didn't sound like a melodious sound until I was mature enough to handle what I was given. And so I would say, honestly, I didn't understand my voice or articulate my vocal ability until I was 18, 19. And I would be asked to sing, and I will always be asked to sing someplace, but I never, ever wanted it to become what it has become. I didn't share my words with no one. It was like, I was privileged to go to a church where we had a music teacher, where I didn't have to take it in school. I was privileged to, and in Michigan, you know, you're around one singer, you're around a lot of them. So one embraces you, everybody's going to embrace you. So with the development, I sang under Bill Moss Jr., and that was like I learned the difference of your hymns, of your spiritual songs, of your worship songs, of congregationals and things of that nature. And I learned where they go in a service. So On the flip side of being a teenager, I had the teaching and the knowledge and the understanding of music and the genres. As I grew older, I learned how to operate and work and ask more understanding for my craft. And it was a craft at first because I really didn't want it. So, that's how it all got started. Kiara and Shayna, I was in the background working as an assistant, doing things, making runs, and singing in a choir for BRL. And then it later turned into let me help develop Lynn. And then Shayna bought that soft side, and where Kiara is like, go hard, go home, don't you give me nothing less than that. And I learned all these things I had to learn quick because I was behind, because I didn't want to use what God gave me. So I would say developed, understood it when I turned 18, 19.
You sound a little bit like me over there with the whole aspect of having something that God is giving you and not really wanting to, I don't want to say embrace it, but even use it. I still got that problem. So that's good.
And what was it, Lynn, that you were afraid to embrace it, or you just, what about it?
I didn't want to be fake or hypocritical. We don't understand that whatever we download in our personal time, that's what we upload on a stage. That's what we upload on a radio station. That's what we upload to people. I'm a Googler. I love to Google. And we wonder why people are walking around. This is just me, and it could be my immatureness to an extent. But people walk around with what we've given them on the thing that we don't share with people. I use Tone as an example. Tone's following, if you Google, is, I want to say, now 77.8% homosexual. Because in your spare time, in your time where no one saw you, this is what you were downloading. So now when you have a major concert, when you have this to do, this is what people are going to upload. It took a while for me to get here. And I don't mind saying my age. I'm 32. So the attitude land, this land, like, I had to mature as a leader. So I didn't want to play with it. Like, a lot of you hear, people think it's funny when they say, I don't want to come to church because I don't want to play with God. Because it's serious. I didn't want to play with the fact that I'm on the road, I get to see the things that I see, those that's like, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus, and then do you wrong with money. Or hallelujah, thank you, Jesus, and going to have sex with one another and putting Jesus' name on it, and that's not the representation of our Father. So I didn't know, and I say this all the time when people say, hey, what makes you guys different? I really don't know, because at any day, one of us can pop. One of us can go do something. But my attitude was, prepare me so that I won't do it wrong. I made a lot of mistakes along my leadership way with my attitude, with my mouth, saying whatever comes or not saying it when I'm supposed to, or just being bad with it. And it was like, I don't want to misuse what you gave me, because whatever you put in me is supposed to break yokes seriously for a nation, not just break but uproot some things. And if I play with it, that's blood on my hands, and I'm be honest, I don't like the doctor's office, so I definitely don't know. I know I don't want to go to the doctor to have to get some fixing, because I didn't want to do what he wanted me to do, so I didn't want to play with it. So I was just like, whatever, when I'm asked to sing, I'll sing and go on about my business. But to take it serious, I had to learn that this is something that he's given me that is not going to go away at all. It's going to follow me until I do it. So why not just go ahead, humble yourself, brace yourself, and get in line. And that's what I did.
Wow. That's a powerful perspective to have. And I'm not saying that in a disagreeing way. But I've only heard that, what you said about, we know certain artists, they live a double life, but I've only heard that among certain people, and I've noticed that there's a distinction between those that you hear that about and the people that actually bring, like, just a peculiar presence of God when they worship. And I'm not saying that people don't have the ability to do that if they are living a double life, but there's definitely a distinct difference. And, I admire that about you, the fact that you would even take it that seriously. Like, I mean, I know we're not supposed to be afraid and we're supposed to do it and all of that, but your reason behind that is, I understand that and I respect that. excuse me. So in that case, then, with that being said, because I know that I mentioned when we were sharing the event earlier that if anybody knew any people that were aspiring to be artists of any kind, to invite them to listen. So with that being said, the things that you see, the path that you've taken thus far, what's the number one thing that you would say to someone who is aspiring to answer the call of God on that, on their life in the area of worship or music, period?
Be consistent. Let's do three. Be consistent. Ask God to send the right help so it won't take as long to get to where you're supposed to be. And trust. Trust. Be consistent. Ask for the right people to help you be a good steward of it. And trust God.
Yes.
That's good. And I think that's to anybody, not just, people who are aspiring to answer their call to music ministry, but just ministry, period. Those are good points. I mean, even I can apply them to myself, even in the assignment that God has given me. You know, being consistent, asking God to send you the right help, and trusting Him, those are like golden rules to fulfilling any call that God would have on anyone's life, not just music. So I love that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so you had your start in, you know, like being trained under someone and singing in churches. So at what point did that kind of transition into becoming a career? Like, how did that happen? At what point did it happen? What were the connections or people that you made connections with to kind of aid in that transition? What did that look like for you?
They kept asking, can you come? Can you come? Can you come? And I was like, okay. And at the time, I did not know the word no. And I would just come. And some people would be like, you know, ask her. And the bad part about it is that they were like, she'll come for free. So my crew, we would travel to Chicago for free. We'll go here for free. And it was like, just ask her, she'll come. And it was like people kept asking. It's just like how, you know, you get a product and you say it's by word of mouth. This is exactly how Lynn McCree became this person. And it was like, I would have to say that it was my youth leader, Ethan Sheard, at the time, Elder Ethan Blake Sheard. He asked me to do praise and worship for our jurisdictional youth department. And one video went somewhere far. And I've been asked to come places ever since. And that's how that has happened.
Okay. And so basically it was a situation where the doors just flung open, like several of them at one time, and it was just kind of overwhelming, and you just have to say, yeah, can't resist it.
that's exactly God's word said your gift will make room for you. So in that case, yes, it was word of mouth, the door slung open, but your gift was making room for you, period. So I think that's amazing to me.
Yeah.
We all in the waiting room, so we waiting for the doors, the doctors come out and say, they call our name.
Oh, we had some doors. we had some doors as soon as we got down here. This radio show is one of those doors, one of the first doors that opened. It was one of the first doors that opened, and it led to other things too. So, yeah, that's definitely true. Even though we're still in the waiting room for like the big stuff, I get it. But we've had some doors open, and
more to come.
You said what?
I said more to come.
Okay, go ahead and prophesy it in.
good things.
And so, like, with that, another question that I think is really important, not just for, like, music and worship ministry, but just period, like, with anything that you either feel called to do or that you're just pursuing because it's your passion, like, where does your passion come from? So, like, when you're singing, if you're leading worship, I like to talk, I've talked about on a few of our previous shows, I like to use the example, actually Tamika told me about this, but I saw it for myself once, about like artists like Carrie Job, you know, when she's in concert, she's literally just focused on God and completely, I don't want to say absent, but absent in the sense where it's not a performance, like she's literally just being intimate with God in front of people. And so, and with that, I like to think of people who are worship leaders. God has just given them a platform in order to be an example of what he wants the intimacy between him and his people to be like. So it's not necessarily you're performing. Like, I mean, that's a part of it. But the heart of it is God saying, hey, I like this intimacy thing that we've got going on here. I like how you interact with me. I like what we have going here. So I'm going to allow you to be seen by other people to show them what it looks like, not necessarily a universal thing, but, you know, just showing them what I want with them and to draw them into that place. So when you're on stage, you're leading worship, or you're in the studio recording a song, like, where does your passion and your inspiration come from, where you're able to, like, just invoke the presence of God and release it to the people that are listening?
I do worship at New Life. Shout out to Pastor Wilton, and I know Ronisha's listening. But
oh, yeah.
Honestly, if you don't do this at home, you can't show forth intimacy when you're out in front of other people. And when I'm up there, honestly, I'm like, if I don't give it my last drop, it could be my last time. So I'm equating my last drop to my last time. So I'm up there like, yeah, so you have nothing to lose, give it all. And literally, I'll give it all. And if it's not vertical first, it'll never be horizontal. So it has to be between me and God first before it's between everybody. But the hard part is that everybody can't do it.
Yeah.
That's the sucky part. Everybody can't worship, and we put people in this box where everybody can, let's worship God. You can if you don't, and if it's not acceptable to him, because some people worship the right God the wrong way, and some people, they're learning how to, and
yeah.
Most people don't want to. So it's kind of me, it's probably going to be bad to say, but it's either you join in or you don't. I'm not about to force you to do anything, but you ought to want to lift up your hands, at least if you get to the point of I will bless the Lord at all times, and just start thinking about it, then you can enter into another realm of worship. But if you don't, I'm not going to push no one. I'm going to sing up there. If I'm singing to myself, by myself, either you join in on the party or you don't. And that will be your loss, because for me, you're going to be at the gate by yourself. And when God say, I gave you an opportunity to lift your hands, but you didn't want to, so the car hit you, that's on you. And it's bad to say, but I want him. And if I want him, only my demonstration should show you that you should want him, but it's still your choice in the end. So for some worship leaders, the truth, they lose themselves in God. And either you join in or you don't. And it's bad, I'm saying it's bad to say, because a lot of people don't agree with this, but is there's a time for pumping and priming, and then this is the time where you got to actually know. We're living in a time where you got to know that this is your responsibility. Praise is your responsibility. Worship is your responsibility. Intimacy is your responsibility in a day like this. So I can't push you. He's shown you time and time again, and that's where I'm at now. I don't push you. I used to say it real bad. Come on and clap your hands. You not going to clap your hands if you really don't want to. If I say, come on, let's go to the Beyonce concert, you going to go. But if I say, come on, let's praise the Lord, it's going to be hard because you can't. It's to a day now, this is the Bible, where it's like they're not going to respond to those who really love God, to those who really want to do his will. And I'm good with that because we as worship leaders, our feelings get hurt and we get tired and it's like, oh my God, they didn't respond. No, sometimes worship leaders, we're planting, we're watering, and then God provides the increase, and I had to learn the difference. Now, truth, if you don't, you won't, and that can't be my problem anymore. And
wow.
It's bad to say, but it can't be my problem anymore because he's given you time and time again to say, oh, I want
you got a little preacher down inside of you.
Yeah.
No. That's the husband. That's the husband. I'm just, you know. I honestly,
my wife and I one with my husband, you got a little preacher down inside of you.
We just pray to the Lord. Just pray to him.
And that's good, though. Like, what you're saying, like, that's hitting me. Like, that's good because, I mean, it is good. You know, my bishop, he'll post certain things on social media. And while you were talking, one time, it brought back to my memory, one time he made this post. And it was basically saying, like, it was kind of just alluding to the fact that praising God isn't circumstantial. Like when you said that it's your responsibility, like it is, you know, it's not determined by circumstances or by feelings. It's literally what we were made to do, is what we were called to do. And there could be, I don't know what be going on with people. Like there could be some people on the line who range from a variety of, maybe they don't worship because they don't have a revelation of God like, you know, more seasoned people do, or maybe they're just in a season of rebellion, or maybe they're mad at God. But despite all of that, you're right, it is a responsibility of ours to honor God with our praise and with our worship. And it's not that it's adding to him. It actually is a benefit to us. And so choosing not to is us missing out on a benefit, not God, you know, because he's great all by himself. So I really do like the way that you put that, the power behind what you said. That's amazing. So yeah, like that, I'm glad we record these shows. I have to go back and listen to that.
But, yeah, so I think that's great. You know, you're saying that it has to be vertical first or it'll never be horizontal, because you can't give out something that isn't already in you, you know, as a habit. Like you can't go from being unsaved to, you know, living a certain lifestyle to just like this person. I mean, you could, I guess, if God made it that way, but it's basically what you're saying is about giving out what's already in you. And in order to give that out as a worship leader, it has to be a practiced lifestyle. Is that what I hear you saying?
You know what? That is so very true, because I didn't used to practice like that. Like, my husband teaches. I just show up. And then I got to New Life, and it just, like, socked me in the stomach. Like, no, you have to be skilled. That's like the prophet has to be skilled in the word of God. The teacher has to be skilled. And I had to, like, stuff that I didn't remember when I was 12 and 13 when I was taught, I had to go back and being at New Life. It was like, whoa, like, okay, Lord. And I had to reprogram the way I learned and things of that nature. And then it was like, give them what you know to give them, but also like get skilled. But yeah, that's pretty much what I'm saying.
That's good. And so we are at our halftime point within the show here. If anybody was just calling in, we do have our local Detroit gospel artist, Lynn McCree, on the line for this amazing interview. We've just been having her share about herself and, you know, what the process to her getting to be a worship leader and coming out. Well, we haven't got to that part, but just what it looks like for her to become a worship leader, what's important about being a worship leader, being a worshiper, period. And she was just throwing out some little nuggets. So if you missed it, that's okay. We do record our shows, and you can listen to the rebroadcast. But we want to transition here and talk about – we want to give you all a chance to hear her single. So, Coach D, if you could go ahead and play that, we're going to give her the give the opportunity for the listeners to hear her new single at this time.
Need an outpour of your love. have learned to live again. I want to live again. In this place, your spirit restores me. Oh, yes, it does. Now I see your glory in the rain.
Wow. That was powerful. I'm so sorry, y'all. I forgot to mention the name of that is called Outpour, and that you all just got the opportunity to hear that for the first time that it's been played publicly. That's a really beautiful song. It's very soothing and calming. I love the words to it. I want to kind of ask, like, what was the inspiration behind that?
Oh, wow. Jesus. I'm very, I'm trying to, like, in the beginning of my marriage, it was really rocky. Coming from two strong backgrounds and trying to create your own was really hard. And my parents raised my siblings and I to be your own person, keep your identity, don't let nobody, and in my marriage, I brought that in my marriage, and all he wanted to do was love me, and I'm like, I'm going to be my own person, and being married to a preacher, and you hadn't experienced the Kojic life, it was so hard, and one day, I was just, those words were not actually the first words that we wrote for this particular song. It was revamped with the young lady by the name of Pam English. She helped me to revamp and tell what I really wanted to say. And that came from a place of God, if you don't get my attitude, if you don't help me check me or you check me, I'm going to lose, one, my husband. I'm going to lose my ministry. And I'm going to lose everything that you invested in me if you don't arrest my spirit. And so I believe it's in the book of Joel where it says, for your sons and daughters shall prophesy, and I shall pour out my spirit upon all flesh. And I'm paraphrasing it not very well, but I wanted him to pour his spirit on me because I was going to lose it all if he didn't. So the basis of the song was, arrest me in this place. Where I am right now, arrest me. Deal with me, give me my time, my sentence, so I won't do this when you bring me out. Like, I had them, like, weird requests from God. Like, I saw for the first time a young lady possessed at 13, demon possessed. And I'm like, I was at about 25 from molestation, drug addicted parents, all this stuff that I had encountered. I'm like, well, Lord, I lived a little. This is how my mindset was, and this is how crazy we can be sometimes. I said, Lord, just so that she can live, you can put it in me, whatever it is. And that was my mindset. And my husband was like, don't be saying that. But that's how desperate I would want for someone else. Like, it was just really insane at the time. So it was like, arrest my thoughts. Arrest what I say. Arrest how I do this, because if I don't, and if you don't, not if I don't, but if you don't, something's going to go wrong, or I'm not going to be able to do these things that you showed me in dreams and that you prophesied to my mother and my father about. So that's the basis of that song. I needed him to get Lynn, because Lynn was,
That's interesting, Lynn, because I've never heard anyone else say that. I used to say, ask God, like, if I saw somebody hurting or I saw somebody that has something, I would ask God to take it away from them and give it to me, which in essence, when you think about it, it doesn't make any sense. But I think what God showed me is that it spoke to my desire to see people healed and to see people whole, and it spoke to my ministry.
you know, we don't have to put it on us because that's what Jesus, we, you know, asking that request really, we're in essence asking to take Jesus' place. But our heart is saying, I just want to see them whole so bad. I know I probably can handle whatever it is that they're going through more than them. I remember I had a friend that had herpes, and I asked God to give it to me instead of him. And God, now he probably was like, girl, are you crazy? Why you just ask me to take it away and heal him, you know? Why would you want it? But it speaks to a heart of just desiring to see people whole and healed. And, you know, you probably are a very strong person, so you feel like, you know, I'll take it, you know. And that's a good heart. But I've never heard anyone else say that. I used to say that, and I never told anybody that. I used to ask God that, maybe for Landis, but for the most part I would keep that to myself because it sounds crazy. But, you know, God had to rechannel those requests in the right direction.
But it's not crazy. I'm now, I didn't mean to cut you off. I'm to the point now, truth, like me and Ranisha, we be having heart to heart. And there are times, don't get me wrong, where my faith is tested. Like, even with this concert, I'm like, Lord, what is going on? This is irritating and unbearable. Like, oh my God. And then I have to remember, like, one, you're not no punk naturally. Like, I may not like shots, but I'm far fetched from a punk. So it's like, guard up these loins. And what sort of, kind of, the spirit that you carried in the natural, carry it over as you honor Christ, as you walk with Christ. And it's now to the point where we have to be who he's calling us to be. Somebody's waiting on a Philandis. Somebody's waiting on a Tamika. And that person will never become if y'all don't become, and if we get scared of what we see or get scared at the simple fact that he what called us. I'm now learning.
Girl,
I don't.
Say that again, man. Say that again.
Just no, you good. Saying. You don't have to repeat it. I heard you loud and clear.
Say it again.
Philandis already knows. Philandis already knows. And it's, I started to say it earlier, but it took truth. The reason why, and Ranisha can attest to it, the doctors can't find anything wrong with me. And it's not until I say yes and I surrendered that one doctor out of the blue was like, this is a nervous system. This is a nervous system issue. Did what they did, and it still came about until I totally surrendered. I had surrender issues because it's like, Lord, well, what if I'm tested and I fail? Well, what if you're not tested and you actually succeed? And it's been those battles, and the crazy part is, it's within you, and nobody else has nothing to do with it. I, like, would blame certain stuff, like, blame a lot of stuff on my husband because he's the closest thing to me. Lord, touch me. But I used to blame stuff on him, but it's like, no, you're responsible. And it's a lot of people that's waiting on me to become so that they can become. We're now at the church rehearsing. Those 12, 15 people in that room, they're waiting on me. And if I don't do it, I fail them. That's blood on my hands because they were assigned to me. And that's the same way we got to look at everything that we've been given. From this day forward, it was like, I think I had my last little whoop-whoop with Ranisha where it was like, I cried. She said what she had to say. Come on, put your big girl jaws on and let's get it. Because somebody is waiting. And the one person that we don't even consider that's waiting is God. We come, and it's no disrespect to the song. I'm not chasing him. He's standing right beside me, and I'm the one running like a dum-dum. I don't have to chase something that's right there, consistently right there waiting on me. That doesn't make sense. And that's the type of God we serve, and here we are afraid. And, I mean, it's natural, I guess. But now I'm like, I'm to the point now, you've done too much for us not to. You feel me?
Yes.
Yeah.
Tell her, Lynn, put it in her drill. This is turning into Bible Study 101. Answer your call. So, Lynn, also, we don't want to, our time is winding down, but we don't want to get off the call without talking about your event. If you could just give us an introduction of what your event is, your album release party, you know, the name of it, what's going to be happening, who's going to be there, how to get there, all of that.
So it is
at Christland Missionary Baptist Church. It's off of Puritan. I don't know the full address because it's on this flyer in my, but you can find me on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, at Lynn McCree. So it's not an album release, but Tamika letting it out the bag. That was our secret, but they're going to get some stuff from me that they haven't received. So I'm dropping that single that day on the 30th, October 30th. Hallelujah night. I'm calling it Hallelujah night. But it's our Relentless Pursuit. And thank you, Philandis and Tamika, for the name. It was great. Thank you. Hallelujah.
Oh, yeah.
So we're dropping a single. Nobody knows. But the one thing that I'm excited about is that we're going to be blessing some of the independent gospel artists here in Michigan. My adopted parents, they're coming from Florida. And they have what you call an independent gospel radio alliance. And the one thing that independent gospel artists don't get is radio play. So blessing some independent artists for their music to go worldwide and not just within the hemisphere of, is that even a word, of Michigan.
Yeah.
So it's a lot of little goodies. It's these two young ladies coming from Texas and Carolinas to, you know, host and stuff. Y'all know who they are?
I
don't
know.
Who they were. Philandis and Tamika.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. So we will be hosting this event.
Yeah, I can't help but notice that on this flyer for your event that you have Shakira Daffin. Like, she's dope.
And her, you know what's crazy? She's having a live recording. She's having
when?
A live recording. It's going to be amazing. A couple of weeks following.
She's going to be on the stage. It's gonna, she having a live recording at your event or at a different?
No. She's actually singing at my event, but she's doing, a couple of weeks later, she's doing a live recording.
Okay. Awesome. Awesome. Well, if you are in Detroit, you don't want to miss seeing our beautiful faces and hearing Lynn's beautiful voice. You will get to see us live hosting her event, Relentless Pursuit, that was inspired by our radio show, but also just above all, you get to spend an amazing, wonderful time in God's presence. I'm really looking forward to God showing up and being there and ministering to our hearts and giving the other artists a platform. It's going to be a great event. Come out, you in Detroit, bring a friend, bring 10 friends. We want to see you.
Yes.
Yay.
And so, yeah, if you guys didn't get that information for the event, we're going to post it again within the Facebook event, and I'll also post Lynn's Facebook information in case you want to follow her. I do believe she's reached her friend limit at 5,000, so you'll just have to follow the page.
I tried to add you today, and I was like about to text Philandis or to tell Ranisha to tell you to delete a friend and add me.
You know what? I've done that like 4 times, and it still doesn't help. So I'm gonna do it like tonight, and then you gotta make sure you immediately hit it.
Okay.
Yeah. So, Lynn, we just want to thank you so much for blessing our show and our lives and our listeners' lives with everything that you've had to say, and also for getting my life when I wasn't on the list to be gotten. Yeah, you threw that in there. I appreciate that too.
We're gonna
go ahead and start wrapping it up. I wanted to allow Coach D to do any announcements that she had before we close tonight.
Also, if there's anyone on the line that has a question, a comment, a concern, just want to say anything or add anything to the discussion, feel free to press 1. Ranisha, if you're on the line, we just want to hear your voice too anyway. You can just say hi. Now, Ranisha. Huh?
No, go ahead.
Oh, no, I was saying Ranisha is Lynn's assistant, for those who don't know. But anyone that wants to join in the conversation, press 1. We'd love to hear from you.
Okay, we do have a caller. Area code 989, last 4, 5486.
Hey, girl. Yay.
Hey.
Hey,
boo.
Here we go. Hey. This is Ronisha. Hearing my voice. Hey.
Yes. Yes. You must be in the bathroom or something. It's an echo.
Hey, so you guys know she was singing background on that song.
Yeah, I knew
yes.
that.
Yes, she was singing background on that song.
Yeah, well, she's telling on you in front of everybody that you were singing background on the song Outpour.
Oh, okay. That's fine. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Yes.
It's okay. One day soon we're going to be having Ronisha's album release, single release party announcement.
Yeah,
so just stay tuned. Ronisha Shepherd, put her
down.
She's
going to be the musical composer on all the pianos, on all the guitars. She's going to be the lead singer, the background singer, and the ad-libber. So get ready for a cold masterpiece.
Touch Lord. I love you. Love y'all. Y'all my family. Y'all more than that's my sister, too.
Well, thank you, Ronisha, for calling in. We love you. We can't wait to see you soon. Thank you for all your hard work helping us put this show together.
Oh, thank you. You all are welcome. It was blessed. No, let me quit.
Oh, man. All right. So, yeah, that was our one caller for tonight. Thank you for blessing us with your presence on the show, Ronisha. Coach D, did you have any announcements that you wanted to make?
No, just to say that great show, and we appreciate all the listening audience for tuning in to Relentless Pursuit First Mondays. Feel free to join us monthly, first Monday of every month. 6:30 p.m. Pacific Daylight Time, 8:30 p.m. Central Time, 9:30 p.m. Eastern Time. And if you're not doing anything during the week, on Tuesdays, MCD Network has Woman to Woman at 7 p.m. Pacific Daylight Time. And then on Thursdays, we have Processing the Pain at 7 p.m. Pacific Daylight Time. Feel free to join us. We thank you again for tuning in, and have a great evening.
Need an outpour of your love.
in the shadow. Wondering if I'll ever stand tall. In this place I hide in the shadows. You can forgive it all.